are joining us through Facebook. We have been going through for the last several Sundays the I Am statements of Jesus Christ. And so today it brings us to I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now you can find this scripture in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. Our sermonic, we're going to place our sermonic spotlight on verses 5 and 6, although I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, but the sermon is going to be taken from verses 5 and 6. So to give those time who don't have their Bibles with them, we're going to, you know, give you time to get there, whether it's on your electronic device or you have an analog. I have them both. I got my analog and I've got my digital. So I'm good to go either way. So if one falls off, I've got the other. Amen. So yeah, I think I've given you more than enough time to get there. Matter of fact, if you haven't gotten there yet, I have a strong suggestion for you. It is called Sunday School. And so you can join us, and matter of fact, on our Zoom broadcast as well, and join us in Bible study. We had a wonderful time this morning. Deacon Williams gave us a wonderful lesson. So just to let you all know, we have a group of fine Bible study teachers, and you will be well served if you would just take the time to come and join us at 9:30 on Sundays and hear that wonderful Bible teaching that we have. With that being said, I've given you far than enough time, more than enough time to get there. And so I'm going to read the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. I'm going to begin at verse 1 and read through verse 6. And it reads on this wise: Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, and you know the way. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we do not know where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me just read verses 5 and 6 again. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so again, for a few moments of the time that we have together, I just want to talk to you from the idea, from the theme, from the thought. I am the way and the truth and the life. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and, Lord, place our petitions before you. We ask that this day, Father God, this day that you have made, Father God, Lord, that you would gather in our hearts and our minds to be focused upon you, that we might receive that which you have for us this day. Our prayer is, Father God, that we would not be hearers of the word only, but we would be doers as well. That we would realize, Father God, that if we are saved, there is word of encouragement. For those who are unsaved, there is a word unto salvation. For those who want to be made a little bit better, there is a word for betterment. And then for those who want to be saved from your wrath, there is a word of salvation. Now, Father God, my prayer for myself is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth. My prayer is, Father God, that you would hide me behind the cross. Let your word go forth with clarity and with power, that it would do those things that you purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things we do ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. We all do say, amen, amen, amen. Some years ago, a friend of mine, he wanted to be a firefighter, and so he went through the process of being a firefighter. And so one of the things that he had to do to be a firefighter was he had to go through a preliminary. He had to go through these, he had to take a test, he had to take a physical, and then he had to take like a physical agility test. And so part of this test was that he would have to go, and the instructions given to all the candidates who were participating was that they were to go into this building, go to the top floor of the building, make their way down to the second floor of the building, go out a window, and climb down a ladder. Now, the person giving the test told them that they had to perform this in the manner that he prescribed. He told them to go all the way to the top floor, leave the top floor to make their way to the second floor, exit out a window, and then down a ladder. So as the recruits made their way up into the building, they found that there was filled with smoke. In addition to being filled with smoke, there were people inside yelling directions and yelling things at them. In addition to the smoke and the loudness and those who were yelling different directions at them, some of them who were participants in this recruitment, some of them paid attention to the people who were giving bad instructions, and so they were disqualified. And some got disoriented by the smoke and the loud noise, and they were disqualified. But my friend went to the top floor as he had been instructed, came down to the second floor, went out the window, and went down the stairs, and he was promptly disqualified because he did not do as the instructor had told him. We find that we're in that same situation with our friend Thomas. I like Thomas. I like Thomas because Thomas asks the questions that we oftentimes ask and oftentimes are afraid to let others know. The truth of the matter is that in our life, there have been situations where we have received instruction. And because due to all the noise and due to the counter instructions, due to all the busyness of life, we have found ourselves disqualified from situations and disqualified from opportunities because we did not know or did not do that which we were taught. We did not, or we refused to do that which we were taught, or we skewed that which we had been taught. And so in today's a section of the pericope that we are going to peruse, we want to look at what it is that Jesus says in response to Thomas's query, Lord, we do not know where you're going and how we're going to get there. So if you miss the sermon, take home my point. And my point is this, is that Jesus shows us the way when we are lost. He gives us truth when we need guidance and life when we need hope. Jesus shows us the way when we are lost. He gives us truth when we need guidance and life when we need hope. First of all, my first point, and first of all, we have to recognize when we're lost. Thomas says to Jesus, after Jesus has told the disciples that he's going to go away. Matter of fact, what kind of added to the noise of what was going on right here, right now, is that here in this 12th chapter, in this 14th chapter, from the 12th chapter up until this point in time, Jesus has been talking to the disciples and Jesus has been letting them know that he's going to go away. That he's going to go away, and there's some things that that they need to hold on to while he's gone. And so, you know, first of all, they're going, well, no, Lord, you can't go. You have yet to do the things that bring into the kingdom. And matter of fact, in addition to that, he tells them that one of them is going to betray him. They've already partaken of the Passover meal, and the devil has already entered into Judas's heart. It just so happens that John, who's the writer of this gospel, turns to Jesus and says, well, who is the one that's going to betray you? And so Jesus tells John that he whom I give the sop to is the one. And so for whatever reason, and John makes it clear that even though Jesus gave it to Judas and gave Judas instruction to go and do that, it was still lost on them the things that were going to happen, that Judas was going to be the betrayer. And so was is the case, because they were receiving so much information from Jesus right before Jesus goes to the cross. And so at this time, when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled," he's telling them this in light of all the things that have already come. He's already identified the betrayer. He has told them that one of them is going to betray him. And so that hurt their heart. The fact that he had told them that they are going to, that he's going to leave them, that hurt their heart. He told Peter, Peter said that they might leave you, but I would never leave you. And he tells Peter, you will deny me before the rooster crows. And so they're, all their hearts were heavy, but Jesus still had information that he had to give them, and he had to let them know that he would never leave them, he would never forsake them, but he had to let them know that there were some things that they were going to go through. And he tells them that where I am going, you already know the way. You already know how to get there. And Thomas, again, whose heart is hurt, says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't even know how to get there." And Jesus turns to him, and he will give him this response. But before we give Jesus' response, you know, it kind of put me in remembrance of when I was a small boy, and I was in an elementary school. And during elementary school, during Thanksgiving time, there would be a song that we would sing, and it was called "Over the River and Through the Woods." And so the song would go, "Over the river and through the woods, to grandmother's house we'll go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the wide and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go." Now notice there's only two verses, but there's actually two more verses to it. And so the point though I'm trying to make here is, notice that in the song, it doesn't say, "I know the way." It says, "The horse knew the way." And so normally the way these things work is that if I'm in a sleigh and I've got an animal that's propelling the sleigh, I'm the one doing the guiding. But the point here that is so apropos is the fact that here it is, they're in a sleigh per se with Jesus. And Jesus is telling them, "You know the way." And Jesus is running the sleigh. But it appears that way. But sometimes even in our own lives, we have given Jesus the reins, or have we? Because there, oftentimes there's some things in our life that we thought we knew the way. We thought we knew where we were going. We thought we had a plan. And then the plan didn't work out the way that we thought it was going to work out. The way it didn't show up the way that we had expected the way to show up. And the reason why none of these things worked out is because you took the reins away from the one who was guiding the horse. Instead of letting Jesus create a way for you, instead of Jesus giving you guidance when you need it, when instead of letting Jesus do what he said that he would do, you jumped in the seat and said, "I got this, Jesus." And Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to override your will. He's not going to bop you in the head and say, "Get back in the back seat." He's not going to say to you, like, you know, oftentimes the parents would say to the kids who are in the back seat, you know, "Hush and be quiet," and a couple of more adjectives that go along with it. But the simple fact of the matter is that Jesus will hand you the reins and let you run until you run it, hopefully not into the ground, but until you get to the point where you realize, "I don't know the way." But the wonderful thing about this passage is that Jesus responds to Thomas and tells Thomas, "I know the way. You already know the way, but either you have forgotten what has been taught, or you've refused what has been taught, or you have skewed what has been taught." And the point oftentimes is this, is that many of us who have believed in our hearts, those of us who have confessed with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, Those of us who are Christians, dyed in the wool, been living for Jesus for a long time, sometimes we'll take the reins and try and run it for ourselves. Even though we realize that we are getting ourselves lost. And so when you get lost, at some point in time, you need to figure out that you're lost. You need to, when you're digging a hole and the hole is getting deeper, what you need to do is stop digging that hole. And at some point in time, you got to realize that I need to stop going the way that I'm going and give the reins back to the Lord Jesus and let him take me the way that I need to go. Sometimes we forget what it is that we have been taught. We've forgotten that Jesus is a way maker until we go through something where we need a way to be made. And so, Jesus, please take the reins. Sometimes we forget that Jesus has a way of opening doors that are closed until we realize that we are lost and we can't open the door. And so we say, we give the reins back to Jesus and ask him to open the door. Sometimes when we've been sick and we could not get well, we did everything that we knew how to do on our own until finally we decide to give Jesus back the reins and say, Jesus, make a way. And so the point of the matter is that oftentimes we'll forget what it is that we've been taught, that life has taught us through living with Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus has the ability to make a way, but we have to allow him to take the reins of our life and take us the way that we need to go. Not only do we need to realize when we are lost, but then we need to realize that Jesus is the one who has the way. Jesus is the one who knows the truth. Jesus is the one who provides the life. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. This clause, when taken together with the whole body of knowledge of what we know in regards to God the Father, in the Old Testament, God the Father only allows access to him at his pleasure. In other words, when Moses came unto God, he was bitten by his curiosity. All the Old Testament saints weren't necessarily looking for God. God came into their presence looking for them. And so when they came unto him, he let them know, I am God, and there's only a certain way that you can come unto me. When Moses came unto God, he had to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. We find that many other Old Testament saints, when they came unto God, there were things that they themselves also had to do before they realized that they were in the presence of God. In particular, there was a young man by the name of Samuel. Samuel, who was in the, he was in the custody of one Eli. And Eli was training Samuel in terms of how to hear from the Lord. And so Samuel had to learn how to go into the presence of the Lord. And so when he heard that voice the third time, after Eli had told him, when you hear that voice again, this is how you respond. And he only learned this because of someone who had taken the reins and shown him, this is how you go into the presence of the Lord. And the same is true throughout all the Old Testament with those who were going to go into the presence of God. But the wonderful thing about the New Testament is that Jesus comes and tells us how to go into the presence of God. He is the door. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus being the access door, Jesus being a pantry door, Jesus being a security door. Jesus lets us know that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through him. And so Jesus says and makes it clear that he is the way to God the Father. If you just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, which basically means that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus took upon himself your sins and my sins and all the sins of the world, and that when he died on the cross, his death was so that he was paying for all the sins of all the world throughout all humanity, and the only way that you can now gain access to God himself is through his son whom he had sent. because God has sent the Son to make intercession for us, we now have someone who makes a way for us. We don't have to hope and pray that one day God will appear to us in a burning bush. God has appeared to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now, not only has Jesus provided us a way, but then let's talk about truth a little bit. And oftentimes with truth, oftentimes people want to hang facts on truth. The fact of the matter is that facts sometimes do change. And what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, think about this. When I was in school, we would go and learn astronomy. And at the time that I was in elementary school and the time that I was in formative years, we took a test on the planets. Now, one of the planets was the planet Pluto. And if you were given a test, and if you didn't have Pluto down as a planet, you would get that one wrong. Pluto was a planet when I was in elementary school. And that was, they said, a fact. Well, come to find out that fact wasn't really a fact. Pluto is not a planet, as it has come to my attention. Those who the interplanetary studies had looked at it and found out that Pluto wasn't a planet, but Pluto was a satellite of another planet. But the people who were looking at it, they said at the time that it was a fact. It was a fact that Pluto was a planet. So not all facts are truth, but truth encompasses all true facts. What is a true fact? A true fact is truth no matter where it is. When from our perspective, rain falls. From our perspective, rain falls to the ground. But in truth, rain falls towards the center of the earth. The pull of gravity on rain as it exits the clouds is such that it's pulled down towards the earth. That is gravity working on rain droplets coming from clouds. It appears to us to be falling when in fact it's being pulled towards the ground. Matter of fact, if you were to trip, you would be pulled towards the ground. Matter of fact, as we continue to walk upon the planet Earth, we are constantly being pulled by gravity towards the ground. That's how come you just can't leap and leave the Earth, because there's a thing called gravity that pulls you towards the ground. Gravity is a truth. Gravity affects you no matter where you are on the planet Earth. Matter of fact, gravity is what keeps the planets aligned around the sun. It is gravity that allows solar systems to continue to orbit throughout space. Gravity is a truth. It is a fact. It is beyond a fact. It is a truth. Truth is truth. No matter what you believe the fact is, truth never changes. Facts may change, but truth never changes. And so, because truth never changes, the way never changes. Because truth never changes, the way never changes. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. Truth never changes. He will be the way. He will always be the way. It will never change. He is immutable. It was the same yesterday as it is today, as it will be tomorrow. Truth never changes. But then we also talk about him being the life. What is this life? Life, we find as we go through all these I am statements, Jesus continues to make a statement in regards to eternal life. If you eat of his bread, if you eat of him as the bread of life, you will have eternal life. He talks about him being the light of the world. And then that light is the one that gives life. Not only did he create life, but he is the continual creator of life. And then he will give you eternal life. And then we talked about not just the bread, not just the light, but then we also talked about Jesus being the door. Not only being the door, but then also being the shepherd. And then being the good shepherd, because he's the good shepherd, because all of his sheep receive eternal life. So not only is he the bread of life, not only is he the light of life, not only is he the door that leads to life. Not only is he the good shepherd that gives his sheep life, but then we also find that he is the resurrection and the life. In other words, he has created life. He can resurrect life, and then he not only resurrect that life, but then make that life so that it becomes eternal life with him and God. But here we find, here in this verse, we find that Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. I am the truth, and there is no other way to the Father except through me. And if you receive this truth, if you follow this truth, if you go along the way that has been made for this truth, if you just simply give Jesus the reins to your life, he will make it so that you will not just have this life, but then you will have this life more abundantly. Not only does Jesus give us this life, but then when we're lost, Jesus has made a way for us that we can be found. And then also, and my last point, is that it is exclusively inclusive. It's exclusively inclusive. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but through me. My favorite thing about Christianity is this, is that anybody can join. There's no medical examination. Your race, creed, or color isn't a determining factor. Your score on the SAT has no bearing one way or the other. There is no party preference or a party affiliation that will get you in. Anyone can become a Christian. It is totally inclusive. Black folk can be Christians. White folk can be Christians. Hispanics can be Christians. Indians can be Christians. Koreans can be Christians. You name it. Anybody can be a Christian. There is no one who cannot be a Christian. But the only thing that is required is that you must believe, and that is the exclusivity of it. It's inclusive. Anybody can be a Christian. Anybody, anywhere, doesn't matter how much education you have or don't have, you can be a Christian. But the exclusive part of it is this, is that you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must believe that he died on Calvary's cross for your sins. You must believe that he was placed in a borrowed tomb, that he stayed in that tomb 3 whole days, and that at the end of the 3 days, on early on that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. You must believe that his death, his burial, his resurrection has done it all for you. There's nothing more that you must do. It is a gift that he has provided. The only thing that you must do to be a Christian is to believe and then to confess. And you know what? I find that people will confess to all kinds of foolishness, but some people will go out of their way not to confess Jesus. I would think that being a Christian is a win-win. Matter of fact, when I believe Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, I did it because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. And so I said, you know what? It just makes sense for me to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. So I won't go to hell. And you know what? There's a lot of people today, a lot of preachers today, who will not tell you that the failure to accept Jesus Christ means that you will be resurrected so that you might go to hell. My job is to give you the whole gospel, the whole kit and caboodle. The fact of the matter is that if you do not receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus will judge you for your sins. As a result of being judged for your sins, you will be sent to hell. How do I stop this from occurring? How is it that I can receive this life that Jesus offers? The Bible says that you must, and I've said it multiple times, but I'll say it again, that you must believe in your heart. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says then that you shall be saved. You don't have to go anywhere and wait and tarry. It is immediate upon your belief and upon your confession. It immediately transports you from darkness into the marvelous light. It immediately allows you that upon your resurrection that you shall receive life. It means that you have eaten of that bread of life and that you've received life eternal more. It means that once you believe that that light that Jesus shines, he says, walk in the light so that you might have life. He says that if you walk through that door, you shall have eternal life because you are a sheep of the good shepherd's pasture. And the promise he makes in each and every one is that you'll receive life and life eternal. That's my sermon and I'm done. But I want to do this for you and with you. If you say this prayer with me and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Say this prayer with me if you will. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You said that prayer with me and you believed in your heart. The Bible says you are saved. And the Bible says that all the angels in heaven are rejoicing because you have received Jesus Christ. But the thing is this, I don't know what you've done because I'm not in there with you. I might be on Facebook with you. I might be in the kitchen with you while you're washing your dishes. I might be in your room while you're folding your clothes and you've made this decision for life, but I don't know. But I would ask that you would do this, please, ma'am, please, sir, on the Facebook page or even at our website at nbcfc.org. Please leave me your information and a way for me to contact you so that I might continue to pray with you. You don't have to become a member of this particular church, but please, ma'am, please, sir, become a member of some Bible-believing church where they can encourage you, where they can exhort you, where they can share with you the scriptures of given to us by our Lord and our Savior. Please, ma'am, please, sir, don't let this moment go without adding a little water to the seed that has been planted. Well, this concludes my time that I have with you. As I pray and then exit, I just simply ask that you would just continue to reach out to us. Our website is nbcfc.org. There is an opportunity for you to donate if this has been a blessing to you. Please, ma'am, please, sir, be good and kind enough to help us as we continue to get the gospel out. And certainly that is our wish and our desire so that others might be saved. Amen.